You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You want smart talk? You came to the right place. You want well-behaved hosts? Yeah, that's not happening. John and Gordy are back, armed with microphones, coffee, and way too much confidence. This is the John and Gordy Show on 92.7 WMDX.
Waiting for the studio to be completed one of these years. And so, you know, our headphone jack amplifier has probably the shortest lead-in cords under the table.
You can't be moved.
You can't move it very far, so you have to reach across the table and maybe even get on the table.
You really shouldn't touch it at all.
Which I just did, you know, just to get the volume turned up.
It's all good.
I just can't.
It's good exercise first thing in the morning.
You know what? You're right.
Stretch.
It was a good stretch.
It was.
And I understand that if you you stretch, you better stretch for at least 30 seconds or else it doesn't do any good.
No
30
kidding.
Seconds of that stretch. Hold it.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Is that from Jack LaLanne? From,
no. No. It'd be fun to see what they thought exercise was back then.
Back in the 50s? Yes. Oh, my God.
I know. But here's here's the thing. I have Men's Health, and I don't know where I got that.
The magazine? What do you mean you have?
No, it's a email bulletin that I get, and it might be. I thought it was that magazine. Yeah. You're right, but it isn't. It's something else, and it may be Mayo Clinic or something like that. But they send me emails maybe 3 or 4 times a week, and I read through it. And it's geared toward men. Mm. You know, their health, what happens to them at each
stage.
Older decade. Yeah. So it's really interesting. But you find out now I resist aging.
Of course.
I mean, our brains don't age, right? But our bodies do, and they start collapsing. So,
what do you mean our brains don't age? They age.
Well,
they shrink. Your brain shrinks over time.
Yeah, but you don't really think. I mean, mentally, you really don't think you're older. But here's the thing. When you're looking at some of the exercises and the stretching exercises that they have for seniors, I was insulted. Because I was in a very good exercise regimen at home when I was 68, 69. I was just, I was buff in a way.
Really?
I can't get buff. I don't have that kind of body. But I'm thin, normally thin, so it was good. And I was really exercising, but I'd look at the senior exercises, and I would just, what are they doing? Stretching? Yeah. What kind of exercise is that, stretching? What are you doing? And you make it seem like people can't, move or something like that. Now, as I keep getting older and older, I'm thinking, you got to do that.
Stretching.
That stretching thing, And I always thought, 30 seconds, hold that stretch for 30 seconds, and it works. It does.
I think isn't that what Tai Chi is all about? Stretching?
Yes.
I think they have a lot of stretching moves.
Yes, I think that has a lot to do with it.
You move very slowly through these stretching moves, but it's good for you.
A long time ago, I was in karate, and every single class that we had
started with
Tai Chi. Stretch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you break a lot of boards?
I did not break a lot of, I was bad. I didn't even get any belt. I was out of there as quick as I came.
You didn't like it, huh?
No, I did not, because I wasn't good.
When I was younger, in my 20s, the big thing was taekwondo.
Oh, yeah.
And I had grown up watching movies where karate was the answer to every fight.
Yeah.
A karate chop would disable your opponent.
Man from Uncle. I Spy.
I Spy.
A little karate chop to the back of the neck.
Now when I watch those movies, it's just funny. Yes. Or Matt Helm, right? I mean, that was the dumbest. Seeing Dean Martin try to be an action hero didn't work. Never worked.
Those were kind of tongue-in-cheek movies. I mean, they were kind of, comedy almost.
Well, kind of. Yeah, oh, no, they were tongue-in-cheek, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Helm.
And in like Flint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Coburn. James Coburn.
James Coburn, yeah.
Yeah. Which he was a strange dude.
he was odd in
like Flint. But yeah. I'm thinking he seemed like that kind of guy. Mm. You know, he was into everything, a specialist in everything.
Yeah.
You know, the best foods, the best organic foods, the best energy supplies. You know, he was way ahead of the curve.
And, yeah.
But now it's coming back. In like Flint is promoting it a lot. I don't know what streaming channel it was.
Is
that
it
I saw
In Like Flint or In Like Flynn?
No, Flint.
Okay.
It was a takeoff on In Like Flynn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, if you want to have some kind of, you know, light entertainment, check out the old spy movies like the Matt Helm series.
Fun
and
stuff.
In Like Flint. There were two movies, I believe, on that.
Yeah. All kind of taking off on 007. I mean, that was kind of the leading thing that everybody was emulating.
And whatever you do, don't let Bill Cosby turn you off to one of the great series of all time, I think, was I Spy.
Ah, yeah.
That was just
with Robert Culp.
Incredible. Yeah,
they were so good together.
They really were good together. Yeah. And Cosby would always win the Emmys.
Yeah. Robert Culp.
Robert Culp never did. And he directed, wrote episodes.
Yeah. He carried the whole series.
He really did.
Yeah.
And he was so cool. He was the tennis player, and Bill Cosby was his manager, and they traveled around the world spying.
Yeah.
But it was a great cover.
It was. Yeah. Great film. Great series. Yeah.
It was.
Well, here it is Friday. A little bit later on, we're going to check in with Savannah Tomei Olson, get some of the news headlines of the day, and also Pam Yonke right around the corner here. We'll get the Midwest Food and Farm Report and find out what she's been up to. And Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview, some great local music happening around our area and around the region. He'll update us on that. And, of course, it's a Packers weekend. Packers are actually traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big Sunday night game, primetime Sunday night football. Weather today, we have a freeze warning in effect till 9 a.m. It's really quite cold out
there. No S word.
No snow.
No S word.
No snow. Not yet.
We'll
but
get
frost.
That. We'll be able to say that word pretty soon.
Frost but, on the windshield, so.
I would say no S.
Yeah.
Because that just tied me up this morning. It
what do you
just
mean?
Threw me for a curve.
Why?
Yeah, we got three vehicles out there just waiting to be used.
Yeah.
And I'm going out to the space car.
Yeah.
And there was frost on the windows.
Oh, no.
And I didn't have a scraper in the car. It's a
Wait
new car.
Wait a minute. Oh. The space car doesn't automatically sense the frost and start taking care of it before you arrive at to get in there?
You're right. You know, I
would think
it that.
Would, it
I
would,
expected that.
You think it would do that?
Yeah. Drawn from, I don't know, the heat in the universe and draws it into the windshield. But you know, I didn't have a scraper, and
I
knew it was
cassette cover.
No,
cassette deck.
I knew the scraper was in the Prius, but I don't know who the hell in our house locked up the Prius, so I had to go back into the house.
Man,
I grabbed the wrong keys.
That's why you were running late this morning.
I grabbed the keys for the Highlander, and that didn't work with the Prius, so I went back into the house and I got the Prius keys. And I got the thing out, and I scraped the windows, and I finally made it here. But, boy, that was just a nightmare.
Were either of the boys awake? They should have taken care of your vehicle.
I would assume that they're probably awake.
Yeah. I thought you had conversations with them.
Every once
morning,
in a while, they'd be up there, and they'd have conversations, but not today, not yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sleeping in.
Sometimes it's pretty cool. You know, I can just sit there and read some of the crazy stories that we feature on Idiocracy, and I have one today.
Do you?
Yeah. This is the fun one. This is the Reagan quote.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Now, we played this before on the show at least maybe two or three times, and it has to do with tariffs.
Yeah.
And, well, the story is basically, I'll just give you a heads up on it.
Okay.
Trump canceled negotiations with Canada.
He's mad about something.
Because Canada decided to play the old Ronald Reagan ad. Not ad, but the speech that he gave, or at least part of it.
About tariffs?
Yeah, about tariffs.
And, yeah, he's ending the negotiations with Canada now just because they're using that.
Yes.
Up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
To,
and he gave the most ridiculous reason, and we'll get to that.
All right.
I mean, you wait till you hear. I was looking for his comment from Truth Social, but you have to have an account with Truth Social to get on Truth Social. Yeah. And I hate Truth Social more than anything. But I may have to end up doing that just to I'm not going to do that. Everybody manages to steal stuff from True Social anyway for me. So
mm-hmm. There are new satellite photos of the East Wing demolition. Now we can see the before and after. You know, they're trying to hide all this. How do you demolish?
Really?
Yes, but they've now blocked off a park that's across the street. Anywhere where they can get a visual of the demolition and all that. Now the Secret Service has stepped in and saying, well, this is a security matter now.
Wait, hold on. I thought this was the most open administration ever, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Don't they tell us everything?
They tell us that all the time.
Oh, okay.
But we can't watch the demolition. No. It's demolished. Now it's just a matter of hauling away the rubble. They'll take that to some secret location and then start selling that off. You know, as part of history of the East Wing. Make some money on the
garbage. So the East Wing is actually going to be a ballroom.
Well, it's going to be a ballroom now.
Right? I mean, that's what the East Wing is going to be. It's going to be a ballroom.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right.
Is there going to be an East Wing that attaches the ballroom to the White House now?
No, not the drawings that I've seen.
Or just a conveyor belt where we all get on that damn thing. Go from the White House to the ballroom, right?
No, this
is only an escalator of some sort.
Nobody gets this. This is not like going to be open to the public or anything. We'll never see this.
Well, no, isn't there, you know, tours of the White House?
Well, yes, I guess there are tours of the White House.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, they're always
they still do those, but I don't think they're going to let anybody near the ballroom. That's just for the, you know, the buddies.
Oh, no, this
Trump
is going to be a real display.
Really?
I would assume that, you know, if you're out there in D.C., you can't miss the ballroom.
There are rumors they're building a huge bunker underneath there for Trump and his family and his cronies.
Yes, I heard that.
So it's all
because there's already a bunker under the West Wing.
Right, yeah.
But
they need extra bunkers.
Well, I'm thinking they want a high luxury bunker.
Of course they do.
Underneath.
A lot of gold in that bunker. Yeah.
Now, you would think that like CJ or my MAGA friend in Milwaukee would be sitting in there going, oh, my God, what the hell is he doing? Why is he doing this? And they just jump on board the old Trump bandwagon.
Well, can you imagine if Obama had done anything to the White House?
No.
You know, significant construction or deconstruction?
He did.
He put in a basketball court.
They ripped him for it.
Yeah.
That was a week-long complaint from the Republicans when he put a basketball hoop.
Right.
on the tennis court.
And it wasn't even a full court. It was a half court, I think.
Yeah, it's a tennis court, and it's split in half, and there was hardly anything there.
Right.
Boy, they couldn't
they
handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, everybody reminds me, and the anchors are very good with this. They say, you know, they're really kind of renting the White House.
Yeah, it's
not
the people's
theirs.
House.
It's not theirs.
Yeah.
So, and he just ripped it down. No advice, no plans, nothing. Nothing.
It is 19 minutes past the hour. We're just getting started on a Friday morning. And right around the corner, we'll check in with Pam Yonke from the Midwest Food and Farm Report to find out what's happening with her. Much more ahead on John and Gordy for a Friday morning on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'm sure they'll have ballroom dancing lessons at the new big ballroom.
Next to the White House. Yeah.
Yes, the new East Wing.
You know, that's a great idea. They could open it up as a dance studio
and
make a little money on the side for dance lessons.
Gee, you
good
think?
Idea. 23 minutes past the hour. It's cold out there this morning. We have a freeze warning in effect till 9 a.m. Right now, 30 degrees here in Madison.
Frost on the car windows, just to let you know. Okay.
Yes.
So there is a freeze out there. Yeah. And let's talk about the freeze. We have Pam Yonke on the line.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to digress from the freeze for just a moment and comment about the ballroom.
Yeah.
I am personally, I am personally honked off by the demolition of the East Wing. I got the opportunity to moderate a White House panel in the East Wing a couple years ago.
Wow.
Invitation of U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack asked me to moderate what they called the climate champions. It was stories about farmers and landowners from all across the United States and different things they were doing to try to flex and moderate with the climate. And it was in the East Wing. And I still have the picture up in my office. And, you know, I mean, how many times do you get a chance to do something in the White House? And then I watch TV and it's like, oh, there goes. There goes right where I stood. There it goes.
Boy, wiping out your memories just like that, right? I mean, that is that's outrageous. Yeah. It's just crazy. And plus, you know, I miss Tom Vilsack. And he was he was the ag secretary for a long time.
Yeah. Two terms. Two terms. He was with Biden and Obama. So I send him an email every once in a while. He's also a rabid Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I no doubt will have to to give him a little slice of something before the game on Sunday. But
that's right.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't mean to break off your freeze conversation because that was definitely something I noticed this morning. Rooftops, windshields, the first sign that we've got it. You know, we're about 2 weeks late compared to when we normally see frost or freeze in Wisconsin. Normally, that would happen between the 4th and the 6th. So we've been able to stretch it out a little bit. The only reason I brought it up for you guys this morning is it's still maybe a little early for some of our Wisconsin potato growers. We were talking with them this week. They had to jump start the harvest because it was so hot. And potato growers have to harvest when the temperatures are as close to about 40 degrees as they can. So a lot of potato growers started the harvest at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, because that was when the temperatures were ideal to bring the spuds out of the ground and get them into storage. Now the little rascals are laying out there in the ground, and if the freeze occurs, they've always been described to me as, they said, think of potatoes like a bunch of toddlers on a bus. Don't touch me. Don't move me. They're very picky about how they want to be handled.
Those little rascals.
So the potatoes now, if they accidentally get frozen or something, they can turn into kind of a poison pill when they take them into storage, because they've got these big warehouses where they're piling up potatoes and controlling the temperature in the darkness until you and I need them June of next year. And if you put one bad spud in the middle of that, it has a tendency to touch all the other potatoes and get them, you know, soft and mushy. So our Wisconsin potato growers are going to have to be monitoring that pretty close. But they always explain it to me. If you want to know how to handle a potato, think about it like a toddler on a bus. Don't touch me. That's too hot. This is too cold. They're just fussy. So
I'll go with little rascals. It was warm and fuzzy for me. But here's the thing. You say they dig them up, right? That's the way they harvest them. And they let them sit there for a little while. Does that mean that, you know, like an initial freeze isn't going to affect them, but if it's a freeze over and over again, then it becomes problematic for these?
Well, and remember, they're in the soil. Until they're on top of the soil, they're still insulated. Then we can go for a while. But if for some reason, say they dug them yesterday and didn't get a chance to bring them all in, then that's where they can start to get some soft spots, or, you know, one or two that just, you know, for some reason were exposed. But remember, potatoes, carrots, onions, anybody that's got a garden knows you can leave those in the ground quite a little while, and they're still perfectly fine, even after we get, you know, depending on the snow and that type thing. Right. You can leave them in the ground November into almost December and then pull them up, and they're still fine because they're insulated. It's just when they get exposed to that that air that you have to start worrying about their condition.
You know, how about pumpkins? How about frost on the pumpkins this
they're
morning?
Fine.
They're fine.
Nah.
Okay, they're cool.
Nah.
All right, no big deal.
Don't worry about them.
Pam, do we have a
fruit is fine.
Do we have a big pumpkin industry here in the state where they, you know, provide it for the canned pumpkins? Do we have something like that here?
Okay, take this with you for the rest of the day and share.
All right.
Libby's canning company.
Yep.
Libby's on the label.
Yeah, I remember that.
That is the number one pumpkin canning company in the U.S. and almost all of their pumpkins are grown in on one farm in Morton, Illinois.
Really?
Mm.
How exciting a life do I lead that I can share that kind of intrinsic knowledge with you?
Well, Morton, Illinois, is that downstate somewhere?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We'll share downstate, that.
I think they...
Okay.
I can't remember how many acres. I'll try to come up with that before Halloween. How about that?
Okay.
We'll keep that in the back of our minds.
Good deal.
Well, let's talk about the Argentina beef. I mean, this is such a huge issue now. I watched a whole story on it with Chris Hayes last night. What's going on with that?
Just got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, and what also got interesting is nobody thinks that Argentina beef's going to make it here because China's going to bid it up just to keep it from the United States. And the thing that I thought was very interesting this week. So Trump decides to open the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency offices to try to help farmers. And then he snapped at beef producers that complained about bringing Argentina beef in. I guess he's starting to segregate which area of agriculture he wants to side with, because he slammed beef producers for criticizing his Argentina beef move. And like I said, most analysts don't think the Argentina beef is ever going to get here. So we'll see.
All right. Well, that's not a good move on Trump's part, especially.
Pam, we have to leave it there. You have a good weekend. Go Packers.
Yes, we'll go Pack.
Go Pack. You bet. Talk to you Monday.
Thanks
talk
a lot,
to you Monday. It's Pam Yonke, Midwest Food and Farm Reports. Right around the corner next, then we're back with Idiocracy for Friday morning on WMDX.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down.
God, I'm so stupid!
Stupid, foolish, gullible, doltish, dumbbell, lame.
I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. You are fake news.
That's the best stupid thing I've ever heard this week, man.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Okay. It is so frustrating. WMDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning as we open up another edition of Idiocracy.
There's just so much to get to. 6:35, clear skies this morning. There's frost out there on your windshield, so you might allow a little extra time to scrape that frost out before you drive around southern Wisconsin. The freeze warning in effect this morning for all of southern Wisconsin until 9 a.m. It's going to be clear and sunny today, high around 51. Right now, 30 degrees here. Okay, Idiocracy.
The big story for Idiocracy today, the biggest idiot of all, Donald Trump, is making dumbass comments again, and boy, have we got one for you today.
So hard to keep up, but we do the best we can.
All right, well, the big story is that Trump has hit the brakes on trade talks with Canada, and he's angry that Canada is airing an advertisement using Ronald Reagan's speech about how dumb tariffs are.
So he's breaking off trade negotiations?
Oh, he's really angry. I mean, this is a quote. Here's a quote from Trump. Ronald Reagan Foundation has just announced that Canada has fraudulently used in an advertisement, which is fake, featuring Ronald Reagan speaking negatively about tariffs, okay? So anyway, I know I messed that up. Ronald Reagan Foundation announced that Canada has fraudulently used an advertisement. It's a fake. Not a fake.
That's what Trump, Trump is saying it's a fake. It's not a fake.
It's not a fake. It's an action, and they even have video. We use the audio clips here, but this is a video. Let's hear what Ronald Reagan said about tariffs and why Canada would want to use this in an advertisement. Let's go with it.
At first, when someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. And sometimes for a short while it works, but only for a short time. What eventually occurs is, first, homegrown industries start relying on government protection in the form of high tariffs. They stop competing and stop making the innovative management and technological changes they need to succeed in world markets. And then, while all this is going on, something even worse occurs. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. The result is more and more tariffs, higher and higher trade barriers, and less competition. So soon, because of the prices made artificially high by tariffs that subsidize inefficiency and poor management, people stop buying. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs.
Well, so let's experiment with that.
Okay.
Let's do exactly the opposite and see how that works out. Let's prove Ronald Reagan wrong. Maybe that's what Trump is trying to do here. And Canada picked up on this particular speech. They're using it in ads in order to attack Trump and his insistence on putting trade tariffs in place. And at this point, Canada is also experiencing a near recession at this point. It might happen really soon,
yeah.
But they're approaching that.
Mm-hmm.
So things are bad in Canada, and they need to have some kind of negotiation. And now Reagan has kind of inserted himself in here somehow.
Posthumously.
Yes. And okay. And Trump is angry about it. What can you say?
He's not making
a lot of good decisions here, you know, with Venezuela.
No, Canada's one of our biggest trading partners,
yes.
If not the biggest. I mean,
the biggest trading partner is Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish, isn't it?
Argentina, we're working with Argentina, and now, you know, maybe Brazil will get on board, but, you know, screw Canada.
He gets angry so easily and just gets, you know, man, just chill out, you know?
Yeah.
What is the problem?
I don't get it.
I think he's very envious of Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Everybody loved Ronald Reagan, and, you know, there's a lot of things that the Republicans revered about Ronald Reagan, and now, you know, Trump has such a huge ego that anytime Reagan's name comes up, he doesn't like that.
I've got a theory here, and I'm just going to throw it out there. It's unsubstantiated, but I mean, it hasn't stopped MAGA from spreading their stuff. So I might as well join the club here. Yeah. But I think, you know, there's all this talk about Trump and having some kind of dementia.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sometimes
dementia is really hard to detect. And when you repeat stories over and over again, it's something you're rerunning in your head that you have created, and that is part of a symptom of dementia. And he does this all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that isn't what the big problem here is. The other problem, if you have a case of dementia, you have people who are advising you.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like he's being advised about the Reagan video being a fake, a deep fake.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what they're telling him in the White House. And he doesn't watch the stuff. He doesn't understand any of the stuff. He doesn't even know that this video ever existed prior to this. So he thinks, well, this is all just created, manufactured, and Canada's using it. That's my theory. I think that this could be an indicator of a real problem. And the fact that he isn't actually running the country at all, he's just taking advice. He's just repeating what other people tell him, like what's going on in Portland.
Well, you could be right, because when he has these open press conferences kind of in the cabinet room where they're just firing questions at him, a lot of times he doesn't know what they're talking about. And then he defers to somebody else. Is that what they said? Who said that? You know, he doesn't.
And then, of course, you know, he looks like a deer in headlights a lot of times when he's asked those questions.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just, okay, now he's going to create something new on his feet. He can't do that.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones, 608-879-8255. Matt is on the line from Middleton. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. We are truly in the upside down world, because I feel like there's going to be more Republican communism coming as they gobble up corporations, as they've caused them to fail in some ways. But as far as Idiocracy, you know, at least President Camacho wanted the smartest people to run things. We don't even have that. We're
Yes, President Camacho. That's from Idiocracy, and he was very impressed. You know, because the smartest man in the world was unfrozen.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see AR-15s in the Capitol soon in celebration of bills being passed. You know,
just shooting them off, right?
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Wow.
President Camacho.
All right.
Man. All right.
Thank you for that call.
Okay. Now, when we talk about Idiocracy, again, you really have to see this movie and think, when we saw this when it was originally released, it was just stupid. It was dumb.
So bizarre.
It didn't seem right. Yeah. You know, we thought, well.
Very far off. Far out.
It didn't exactly work. It was just too crazy.
Yeah.
Too over the top. And now, of course.
Here we are.
Now it's moderate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, let's get into something else here. Let's change the subject a little bit. It's a nice trick if you can pull it off. Fed employees usually get furloughed pay during shutdowns, right?
Right. Yeah.
Not getting fired. But now, you know, Trump is firing them and getting rid of them ruthlessly, I'd say. I want to know, do the MAGAs really want to vote for him again? This is cruel stuff to our fellow Americans. Here's NBC4 in D.C., a little report on this. Cut 107 about firing these employees. Let's listen.
Breaking news on a Friday afternoon. Federal workers, many of them our neighbors here in the Washington, D.C. area, are being fired. A post on X from the director of the Office of Management and Budget, Russ Vogt, said rifts have begun, government speak, for reductions in force. In plain English, it means people are being fired in the midst of this government shutdown. How many? One White House source told NBC News a substantial number. Another source said it is in the thousands. Where are they? How will they be notified? We don't have those answers yet. But a spokesperson told NBC News, it's deeply unfortunate that thousands of federal workers will be laid off as a result of the Democrat shutdown. It's unclear if any of this is legal. Doesn't mean it's not happening. It'll be fought over in the courts. In the meantime, those federal employees put in the middle. In past shutdowns, many of them have been furloughed, asked to work without pay, or simply gone without paychecks for some time.
That was me.
But they would eventually get their jobs back. Yeah. Now the White House seems to be pushing the envelope and actually reducing the number of federal employees through firings.
That's right. Now, when I was working for the census, I was on furlough a few times when the government shut down.
And so they just keep your money until the
it's over. Yep.
You get a big lump sum.
And they tell you can't work. Can't work. Do not do any work at all. Don't go on your laptop. Don't take care of stuff you didn't finish.
Really?
Just stop cold. Do not do it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, again, why aren't any of these numbers, these huge numbers of layoffs and firings, why aren't they used in the unemployment report? You would think that that would just escalate, go right through the roof.
Yes.
But nothing's ever really happened with that. Mm-hmm.
They don't have the people to put those numbers together anymore.
That's right.
They've been fired.
They're the murder hornets. Boy,
are they on the rise again?
Yeah, there's some story of murder hornets.
Shiny object, squirrel.
Yeah, I know. I look up and guy has his hand, and there are two murder hornets dead upside down in his hand. I'm thinking, wow.
Are they invading? Yeah, I don't know. Must be a problem.
You know what? We'll find out next week. As we continue that story in Murder Hornets.
Okay.
All right, let's get to occupying cities. You know, there's something that snaps in the mega mind where they think that this is the safest way to go. We really need to take care of crime. This does it for them, you know, occupying a city with the military, some form of military. That's the way to do it. Police force, not enough for them.
Go after the sanctuary cities.
Yes.
Bring in the military.
Especially, yes, the Democratic cities.
Yes.
By the way, that last story we heard, Democrat, it's Democratic. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's not fall into the Republican way of saying Democrat. Okay? It just burns me every time. But let's listen to Chief of Staff Dan Scavino.
Oh.
He was talking about freedom and security, and this is cut 162. Let's get to it.
Okay. Everybody's on the same page, marching in unison to deliver the president's, you know, agenda and his goals in making Washington, D.C. safe again,
wow.
In making Memphis safe again. Chicago. How can these guys like Chicago, how could they not want to make Chicago safe again? I'll never understand it for the life of me, how these people do not want to work with this administration. And I'm talking Pritzker and I'm talking Newsom. How and why?
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow.
Okay.
It does. It's stunning how easily they're convinced that if you put a military force in your cities to calm down crime, doesn't seem to be a solution to a problem at all. It seems like a temporary quick solution that doesn't last forever unless you have the occupation.
That's baffling. It is 6:49. We're coming right back with more of John and Gordy on a Friday morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ballroom Blitz.
We're talking about the ballroom again. Blitz.
Oh, yeah.
We are. This is John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX.
This is like a gift of gold from Trump, right in our lane.
It really is.
Because this ballroom thing is going to go on for a while.
It is the best example of what he's doing to the rest of the country.
Right? Demolishing it.
Taking it apart with no permission, no plans whatsoever. I mean, you know, it started off as $250 million.
Yeah.
Then it went up to three.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stories I have with me are just at three, but he increased it to $350 million.
Really?
Yeah. He keeps changing it. It's just like all the time.
Maybe more donors are stepping up to contribute money to this thing, so he might as well, you know, build it even bigger and more gold.
Well, what's a few million to billionaires, right? And they get something for it, you know, tax breaks, obviously. Yeah. So why don't we play a Daily Show look at the demolition of the East Wing?
Okay. The government shutdown is now in its third week. Countless federal employees aren't being paid. Food stamps will run out soon, and there's no end in sight. But not to worry. President Trump is working day and night to build a ballroom. It's exactly what you voted for, coal miners in Pennsylvania. 90,000 gilded square feet for Trump to do the jerk-off dance in. But if you're worried such a renovation might damage the people's house, let Donald Trump put your fears to rest.
It won't interfere with the current building. It won't be. It'll be near it, but not touching it. And pays total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I never want to leave, and I'm never going to. I believe it's his favorite building, though. He loves the history, the decor, the immunity from criminal convictions that it provides. But great. The White House itself is going to be fine. They're not going to touch it. They're not even going to touch it.
This morning, demolition day at the White House. Crews tearing down walls as construction for President Trump's 90,000 square foot ballroom ramps up.
Yeah.
It looks like they touched it. I mean, holy shit. Who's his general contractor? Bin Laden and Sons? Apparently not touching the White House turned into demolishing the White House. And for what? Does he really need a ballroom attached to his home? I mean, it would be good to have one room where Barron didn't have to crouch, but still. I mean, they're tearing apart the entire East Wing. I hope there's nothing important going on there.
Constructed in 1902, the East Wing houses the office of the First Lady.
That's harsh. Do you think Trump warned Melania in advance, or did a crane just scoop her up mid-bubble bath?
Yeah, that's it right there. But
yeah,
construction company Bin Laden and Sons.
They did have a construction company. His father was a contractor.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just an amazing. Let's go to Charles. We got a call from Charles out in Milwaukee. What do you got for us, Charles?
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to go back to the whole crime thing. I was saying, I'll say it until the day I die, it's never been about crime. They're not going into the crime areas of these cities. Mm-hmm. I always believed that this was a fake outrage of it's in a crime emergency, so they could actually be able to go into the sanctuary cities mm-hmm. and round up immigrants. And that's what it's always been about. Because like I said, they didn't go into the high crime areas of D.C. They're not going to go into the high crime areas of Chicago. It's all about protecting the thugs, as they call them, the ICE agents. And that's what it's all about. So it's the fake outrage in there. Oh, the Democratic Party don't care about crime. They want the thugs and that to just run rampant and kill people. And they're the ones that's unleashing crime.
Oh, yeah.
You got the biggest criminal in the, at the head of the White House, 34-count felon. It puzzles me when they talk about crime. And then they look at him, and I'm like, what are they thinking? Yeah. Well, no, they're not thinking.
They're not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've got a bigger plan, and we'll be getting to that, Charles, next hour, first thing. It's a big plan. It was revealed on NPR. I've got audio from NPR on this.
Thank you, Charles.
Wait till you hear this. I mean, it's going to be... a shocker for everybody. They're going after everybody on the left.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or anybody who doesn't believe in the MAGA philosophy, mm-hmm. which is kind of, I don't know what that is anymore. We have a couple minutes here?
Yeah. Bringing this up, I mean, yeah. You know, if you want to get answers to what's really going on, you should go to the House Speaker, you know, Mike Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows everything. You know, he's got his finger on the pulse of everything that the Trump administration is up to.
Do we have that clip there, Dom? Let's hear it.
This is Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. So just fielding some questions from reporters about what's happening.
He's in the know.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you with the president apparently seeking $230 million from the Department of Justice?
I don't know the details about that. I just read it.
I don't know. I've never seen the Epstein evidence. It wasn't in my lane.
I don't know anything about the meme coin thing. I don't know.
I don't know anything about the dinner. I was a little busy this past week, as you know.
I'm not following all the twists and turns of the Qatar jet. I haven't looked into the details of the RSC budget. There's lots of nuances. That's first I've heard of that. I don't know anything about it.
Wow.
I have not heard or looked into any of the details of that. I've been a little busy. I haven't seen the specifics of that, and I don't know. I don't know the details. I just saw a headline this morning. I don't know what you're talking about with the children. Look, I'm not going to make any detailed statement on this because I don't know the details. I've been very busy the last 48 hours or so.
That performance in front of the generals?
I didn't see it.
It's so dangerous.
I haven't seen it. I can't comment on it. I've been a little busy today. That's not my lane. I don't know.
I don't know anything about it yet. I've been really busy, as you probably noticed.
I don't know what Eric was saying because I only heard just a snippet there. I don't know the context.
You just saw it, Eric. Sir.
He's on top of everything. Huh?
So what is he doing during all this time off?
No. News is next. Then we're back with Savannah Tomei Olson on WMDX and Rocker a little later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.